The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson at KIIC Albia and Ed Lynn at the Eagle Grove Eagle. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, you published a letter to the Department of Veterans Affairs just last Friday, and the letter demanded some insurance that servicemen are not being unfairly stripped of their Second Amendment rights. You referenced the National Instant Criminal Reporting. Tell us how that unfolded and what's going on there.
Well, here, this has been a problem I've been working on for a long time. And I've even tried amendments on the floor of the United States Senate to get this done. You see, the same problem applies to Social Security, I believe, unless we've got that one fixed. But when you're, whatever age you are, and I suppose it happens more to older people than it does younger people, but if you have to have some help with your finances, in other words, somebody managing your finances, in other words, your income and your expenditures, some people that get government benefits, sometimes that's set up for them. So presumably, then their name goes to the NICS organization. You gave the exact words for the NICS. That's the list that the gun dealers have to call if you're going to buy a gun. Is there something wrong with this individual so you shouldn't be able to buy a gun? Okay, so you're a veteran. I assume during your time being a veteran, you handled a gun. And then just because you can't handle your finances and you're in this list and you can't buy a gun, you're being denied your Second Amendment rights. And we want to get a bottom to this and get that policy changed so you don't lose your Second Amendment rights just because you have somebody help you your finances. Ed.
Senator, thanks so much for taking my questions. In recent remarks you made on May 3rd to the Senate, you paid tribute to your departed friend. And in those remarks, you said you associate yourself with his remarks that we must be friends and not enemies. With that in mind, how do you plan to honor Orrin's legacy and operate in a more bipartisan manner with those across the aisle?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to refer you to Georgetown University Lugar Center, and that's named after former Senator Lugar of Indiana. And you'll see that they do a index or a survey of all 100 senators every year. And every year I come in really good in that, out of 100 senators. This year I was 12th out of 100 senators, 5th out of all the Republican senators of working in a bipartisan way. And I think that statistic done by a nonpartisan group speaks better than anything I can do to answer your question. Tom Williamson.
Fair enough.
Yes, Senator, thanks again. So would you tell us about your bipartisan legislation you introduced known as the Rural Hospital Support Act? I would guess maybe it's hard to get a lot of support because rural Iowa and rural counties don't seem to carry much weight.
Well, it's that partly. They carry a lot of weight in the United States Senate, but don't carry much weight in the House of Representatives. And really what we ought to do is rejigger all these formulas so I would get more money. But the possibility of taking money away from California and Texas, Arizona, New York, Illinois, is practically zero in the House of Representatives. So we have legislation like you just suggested that adds to whatever Iowa receives from Medicare and other rural states, what they receive, just put more money into rural America, and that's what this legislation does. Back to Ed.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Senator. As I'm sure you know, there are those industries that are being legitimately affected by inflation right now. But there are also many companies out there who are taking advantage of the current inflation trend and making it worse by engaging in price gouging. And my question is very simple. What do you have to say to price gougers right now?
Well, you're un-American. You are taking advantage particularly of middle-income and low-income people. You shouldn't be doing it. But also, we write to the Department of Justice when we have instances of what we think is price gouging to have them investigated and charged accordingly if it proves that they have been price gouging. Tom.
So on May 2nd, that'd be last Monday, you, Senator Grassley, you asked why, or you spoke on why forgiving student debt is a slippery slope, and you made some really good points. It's quite cogent, so can you kind of repeat some of the...
Well, first of all, the individual that might want their debt forgiven, did you ask to borrow this money? Did you agree to the conditions of it? Did you choose your school? Did you choose your major, where you were going to go to school and all that stuff? Those were all your individual decisions, weren't they? And the person would presumably have to say yes. Then wouldn't you expect to pay off the obligations that you assumed by going there? So then that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer to your question, but it ought to be considered serious too, because this is an individual decision. You know, you buy a house, you're going to pay for the house. You're going to buy a car on time, you pay for the car on time, you pay your bills. I even heard of somebody had an answer like this: well, I didn't know exactly what I was signing up for. Well, when you buy a car, you don't know you're signing up to get that car and you got to pay for it, or the house, you got to pay for it. So those are just kind of rhetorical answers to your question. So let me get to the lack of fairness about it. It's a slippery slope. If you start paying down student debt, aren't you going to also then be asked to do it for credit card debt, car debt, house debt? Where does it end? And then what about the unfairness of those that didn't go to college and are working now that are paying for other people's education by them not paying their debt? Besides, I think in the end, everybody's got to have some skin in the game in order to appreciate it. Ed, I think you're the next one, Ed, right? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Yep. So, Senator, with Roe versus Wade seeming about to be overturned and abortion as we've known it for the past half century appearing likely to become illegal, and maybe we're going to reach the end of that debate. Looking beyond that debate, would you support funding for expansion of access to birth control methods that prevent the unwanted pregnancy? And also, would you support funding for developing and making available alternate means of family planning that don't result in a dead baby, such as cryonics?
Well, first of all, I think on the specifics you asked, I would wait until the legislation's introduced. But I can tell you from a ideological point of view that I would support people that have, in other words, organizations that would help people through pregnancy. The answer is yes. They ought to have what support they can get. Back to Tom.
Thank you.
They're floating around the idea of a disinformation board, and to me, it seems like another way to suppress free speech. And, you know, in the Constitution, it says Congress shall make no law abridging free speech, so to speak. So is there any way of stopping this or controlling this board with more unelected officials?
I think it's so ridiculous it'll fall by its own weight. Now, I can't guarantee that. So I've co-sponsored a bill that would do away with it or not fund it, one or the other. And that's simply another step towards the government violating freedom of speech. Ed, you'll have the last question.
All right, thank you. I wanted to kind of piggyback off of Tom's last question about, not before this, but the one right before it about student debt, and ask, since of all of the different kinds of debt that you referred to rhetorically, like buying a car, buying a house, education is the one thing that has the potential of increasing a person's earnings and therefore improving the economy. So I wonder, would you consider support for a kind of student loan relief that is income-based, i.e. maybe a tax on people who received student loans?
We already have that in law today, where you don't have to pay more than 10% of your income. And if you do that successfully for 20 years, the rest of it will be forgiven. Or we also have another way of helping students that way. If you work for government or you work for nonprofit organizations, that's also a way of paying down your student debt.
Thank you, Tom and Ed, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.